friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Creator of the fruitful earth, you made us stewards of all things. Give us grateful hearts for all your goodness and steadfast wills to use your bounty well, that the whole human family today and in generations to come may with us give thanks for the riches of your creation. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
The reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from a skin disease. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his skin disease? Just look and see how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, He sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease. And not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean.'" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God and all his company. He came and stood before him and said that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Now,
Jésus-Christ ressuscité d'entre les morts, issu de la race de David, selon l'évangile que j'annonce, pour lequel je souffre jusqu'à être enchaîné comme un malfaiteur. Mais la parole de Dieu n'est pas enchaînée. C'est pourquoi je supporte tout à cause des élus, afin qu'eux aussi obtiennent le salut qui est dans le Christ Jésus avec la gloire éternelle. Elle est digne de confiance, cette parole. Si nous mourons avec lui, nous régnons avec lui. Si nous régnons, lui aussi nous régnera. Si vous lui sommes infidèles, lui demeure fidèle, car il ne peut se renier lui-même. Tout cela, rappelle-le, attestant devant Dieu qu'il faut éviter les querelles des mots, elles ne servent de rien, sinon à perdre ceux qui les écoutent. Efforce-toi de te présenter à Dieu comme un homme éprouvé, un ouvrier qui n'a pas à rougir, qui dispense avec droiture la parole de vérité. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On his way to Village of Peace, Creator Sets Free took the path following the border between High Place and Circle of Nations. He went into a small village where 10 men with a skin disease came across his path. They kept a respectable distance from him and called loudly, "Creator sets free, honored one," they pleaded, "have pity on us." Creator sets free looked at them and said, "Go to the holy men and show yourselves to them." Tribal law instructed that a person healed of a skin disease must be pronounced ceremonially clean by a holy man. They did what he said, and as they were on the way, they were healed. One of the 10 men, when he saw he was healed, returned to Creator Sets Free, giving loud praise to the Great Spirit. He then bowed down to honor Creator Sets Free and offered him thanks. This man was from High Place. All the people from there were despised and looked down on by the tribes of wrestlers with Creator. Creator Sets Free said to those who were watching, "Were not 10 men healed? Where then are the other 9? Was the only one who returned to give thanks and honor to the Great Spirit an outsider from High Place?" Then he said to the man, "Stand up, be on your way, Your trust in me has healed you. Gospel of Christ.
May I speak to you in the name of the Creator who offers us healing. Amen. So I've been thinking about whether saying thank you is the same as being a grateful person. Saying thank you is a thing you might do in the moment, but being a grateful person is an all-the-time thing. The Thanksgiving Sunday service has actually dedicated readings for Thanksgiving, for harvest, and they are the first fruits of the crop of the fields, and they're lovely. But I just couldn't resist this story about whether thank you was in order. About this story, you may have heard about it as the 10 lepers who were healed. And maybe you noticed that in both of those stories, they're called having a skin disease. And the reason for that is that what we used to translate as leprosy is not what the modern disease of leprosy is. And so the translation has taken into account that they're talking about a general skin disease, not the modern scientific designation of leprosy that we know in our time. But nevertheless, I wanted to think about these 10 who were healed. And the one came to say thank you. And Jesus noted that he was the outsider, the Samaritan. And I wondered, why is he the one who went to offer thanks and the others didn't? Maybe as someone from a community that had experienced prejudice, he experienced the welcome and inclusion of a Jewish teacher. Maybe he just had the presence of mind to look down at his skin and see that it was already healed. Because as the story says, they were healed while they were running to go to the temple. So maybe he just had the presence of mind to look and see it and decide that he needed to say thank you. If you look closely at this reading, no feelings are described. Nobody's feelings, not Jesus, not the 10, not even the one who thought to say thank you. This is not about feelings the way it's told. So anything we might say about the feelings of gratitude that we would have, well, that's us, but in this story it would be speculation. But if we're going to speculate anyway, I want to speculate about the 9 who didn't thank Jesus. Do you think that means they weren't grateful? You see, it's a very proper thing to, you know, thank someone in an assembly at a formal occasion. People appreciate being thanked. If you say a list of thank yous and you miss someone, they feel left out. That it's a very formal thing. But do you think that people who don't do that kind of thanking aren't grateful? I have to imagine that after the social isolation required by their skin disease, they were probably grateful that they could rejoin the society of their community. They were probably grateful not to have the shame of whatever disfiguring it was. I think they were grateful. They just didn't say thank you in the moment. And I'm making a case for their gratitude because I want to make a case for our gratitude, for which we don't always say thank you. It doesn't mean we're not grateful. So the 10 are not our only example. In the first reading, Naaman is also healed from his skin affliction. And as you heard that story of Naaman, you have the sense of his pride and circumstance in his role as a leader. You know, I thought the prophet would come out and wave his hands at my spot. Instead, he's making me go into a dirty river. He has a sense of self-importance, and yet he is healed, and he expresses his thank you as an offer of gifts, which the prophet Elisha refuses. Now, this is offstage from the part of the story we read. Naaman offers gifts and gratitude, and the prophet Elisha refuses. And then further offstage, Elisha's servant Gehazi decides, you know, I'd like those gifts. And so he runs after Naaman and says, the prophet has changed his mind. Could you give me those gifts? And Elisha knows this has happened and confronts him and says, well, you got those gifts, but you're getting the leprosy with them. So that's off stage. I'm just telling you that because the story continues. But back to the thank you. If thank you is not said, that doesn't mean a person is ungrateful. Because we all process differently. Some people have the presence of mind in the moment to say thank you. Some, it comes to you after the fact, when you realize and reflect, and then you maybe go out of your way to say thank you. Let's just say, years later, you're thinking about that grade 8 teacher and what an impact she had on you. And you realize she's still alive, so you send her a card. The time doesn't matter, that card is special. It's never too late for special thanks. Maybe in the moment, you, if you didn't offer thanks, were preoccupied with your hardship, like the 9. In our Christian practice, thanks happens in a number of ways. The word Eucharist, so our normal service of every Sunday, is Greek. That word is Greek for thanksgiving. So it might have passed you by, you know, we use the theological word. Every week we are giving thanks. And on top of that, we add this special occasion of Harvest Thanksgiving to give a special focus to reminding ourselves and to celebrating and to thanking. So there's regular thanks, the thanks that's ongoing every week or even every day for you, and there's special thanks. And we do this with a lot of things. We don't talk about Easter every Sunday, but it's in our Eucharistic prayer. We don't think about Christmas every day, and yet when you meet someone who is created in God's image, there is the incarnation right in front of you. So we know we have ongoing ways of being, and then we draw special attention to remind ourselves that gratitude is important. This past week, we had a church special event where we were invited to the synagogue to share in a Thanksgiving service. In the Jewish cycle of feast days through the year, following Yom Kippur, they have an observance called Sukkot. And in this observance, they build an outdoor tent, which has slats open to the roof, to the sky, so you can see the stars. And it is a remembering of the time when the Israelites had escaped from Egypt and spent 40 years in the wilderness in tents. In effect, it's a thanksgiving that we now have homes and roofs over our heads, that we would be looking up at the stars through this tent in the cold. So we had this experience of being out in a cold tent, shivering a little and reminding ourselves to be grateful for homes. I met in advance with the rabbi to talk through what our observance would be about, and he proposed that it be especially a Thanksgiving for Canada. Now, I've never done a Thanksgiving for Canada sermon before, and I found this brought me to be thinking about what I'm grateful for about Canada. But in the time of our planning, which included our Member of Parliament, Yasser Naqvi, I said, well, if we're going to talk about Canada, I think for St. John's Church, we have to talk about the people who are new to our community, who have come to Canada, and who are trying to figure out how to become Canadian. Because their credentials aren't recognized, the immigration process is obscure, and it's just frustrating for them. And it's frustrating for us who have come to care about them. Whether it's refugees, or people seeking asylum, or people who have permanent resident status before they arrive, the adjustment is a hard one. And we, as the people of St. John's, are experiencing with the people who are making this big change. So I said to Yasser Naqvi, our MP, as part of this planning, do you think your government can fix immigration for us? And he said, you know, I have caseworkers who can help with this. And I said, well, in that case, if we're going to give thanks for Canada, I'm going to invite some of our newcomers, especially the ones here with us from Africa, to come to this event. And he said he would be happy to have that happen. And a number of conversations happened with our MP, and he is going to come back in November and do a special event just for us to help with this process of coming to Canada and being Canadian. So when I give thanks for Canada, I'm grateful for my parents who came as children, but it caused me to think about others who are trying to do the same thing, and I want to be grateful with them that the process will be easier. I'm thankful for safety, for a roof over my head, for health, for friends, for energy to do things, for holiday times. I'm sure you're thankful for all those things too. But if we're going to thank God for Canada, or thank Canada for being good to us, I think it calls to our hearts to be able to thank in advance for good work we want to see happen. Over the past 6 months of the news, where Canadian sovereignty was challenged from south of us, and where we have watched the impact on ordinary Americans, particularly people of color, we have people to pray for. And we're grateful that our place is safe. So Sukkot gave me a new experience of what Thanksgiving is about. That's the beauty of interfaith experiences, is they give you a new dimension on the things you already care about. So I was feeling this new dimension, and it was a beautiful day yesterday, and I thought I would go for a drive. And I drove down to the St. Lawrence River and along the river and back. I couldn't believe how many Canadian flags people now have. I don't know if you've noticed it, but this, but there's a flag practically every third house, and I've never noticed Canadians doing this before. I'm guessing that, like having a special thank you but being grateful all the time, the flag is a special indicator of being grateful to be here, being proud to be here, but they were probably grateful all the time. Maybe they hadn't thought it through, but that's what the flags symbolized to me. We thank God on special occasions, but I think the real deal is to be grateful people all the time. So let this food display remind you to be in a life of gratitude, The food will go downstairs to the well to be served, and we're grateful that we've been able to offer that. But we're here in a church seeking to live a life of gratitude. Amen.
Peace, let us pray to the God of all love, responding to the invitation, Lord, in your mercy, with the response, hear our prayer. God of love, we come before you today to give you thanks for your gifts and creation, for our world and the heavens which tell of your glory, for our land, its beauty, and its resources. We give praise that once again your promise has been fulfilled and the seed time and harvest have borne fruit. We pray for all those who make decisions about the resources of the earth and ask that we may all use your gifts responsibly and with thought for others. Lord, in your mercy. God of love, we remember today all those who strive to keep the peace and bring stability to your world so that we may all share in your gifts to us. For leaders and governments, for the United Nations, for aid agencies, today we rejoice in the news of the ceasefire in Gaza and pray that it will hold and be followed with serious efforts of reconciliation between Israelis and Palestinians and the reconstruction of shattered communities. Lord, in your mercy. God of love, we thank you for giving us life and for all who enrich our experience. We pray today for all those who, through no fault of their own, are deprived of their harvest and the necessities of life, which we so often take for granted. Today we remember the work of the food bank and the emergency food centers in our city. We pray that the gifts they supply will help sustain those in need and give them reassurance that they are cared for. Lord, in your mercy. God of love, we pray for communities of Christians gathered throughout the world today, for church leaders and for those of us who follow, for all women, men, and children who seek to know God's will and do it. We pray for our own church as we give you thanks that you have called us together to celebrate your creation here today. We remember our parish leadership team and all who give of their time and talents in their different ways. As we embark on our stewardship campaign, fill us with determination to be mindful of the mission and ministry to which we are called. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are sick, especially those whose illness is long-term and demands much patience to bear. We remember those who are lonely and depressed, and pray that we may be good listeners when friends and neighbors need us. Give us the right words to comfort and help us to know what simple acts of kindness may help someone else. Today we remember those who have asked for our prayers. Bev, Alex, James, Alice, David, Barton, Sarah, Doug, and all others who are in our hearts, whom we now name silently or aloud. Lord, in your mercy. God of love, as we go out into your world today, help us all to use our God-given gifts freely in the service of others and to do so with joy in our hearts. Amen.
Your will be done.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you all, now and always. Amen.
To love and serve the Lord.